You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are tuned in to the Vitamin D with Dawn Day podcast, and I am your host, Dawn Day, here to get you excited about your life so that you can live life on purpose and for a purpose. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Vitamin D, it's a pun off my name. My name is Dawn, and you get vitamin D from the sun, so I'm here to shed light into your life. And I do this with inspirational insights and conversations with celebrities and everyday people like you and me. Because if you want to be better and you want to do better, then you're going to have to be able to see better. So join me on this journey of living our best lives and understanding and realizing how you are your greatest asset.
Get your vitamin D right here with me and get excited about your life.
Dreams don't work unless you do. You have to be the change that you wish to seek. Heck, we even hear it in the scripture. Faith without works is dead. So the time has come for you to put in the work, because election season is here. Here on Vitamin D with Dawn Day, we're all about shedding light on the good and the bad, because what do I say? If you want to be better and you want to do better, you're going to have to be able to see better. See who's out there standing for you. And right now, I have a very special guest joining us today. His name is Pastor Eddie Anderson, affectionately known as Pastor Eddie. He's the Reverend over at McCarthy Memorial Christian Church in West Adams and is a regional organizer for LA Voice. He is a co-founder of Clergy for Black Lives and serves as CEO for Partnership for Growth LA. A man of many hats, Pastor Eddie lives in the Mid-Wilshire area of CD10 with his wife Claire and is running for LA City Council CD10. So without further ado, family, help us welcome Pastor Eddie.
Hey, good to be with you, Don. So glad to be here on today. And I'm going to say it again. I love to listen to you speak. Like, it's like comfy, warm. So I'm glad to be here in this space.
Yes. I always tell people, I'm like, I'm going to make a lot of money off this voice one day. Watch. You know? So
I love it.
Thank you so much for joining in. Thank you so much for affirming my voice. And thank you so much for using your voice to be the change that we seek. So, you're here to talk to us about you are running for LA City Council CD10. Pastor Eddie, give us a little background, who you are and why are you running?
Yeah, so I am a local pastor, but you know, it's Black History Month, so let me go all the way back and say I come from Geechee folks on the coastal parts of Georgia. My grandfather was a farmer and a pastor. My grandmother was a homemaker. Other grandmother was a janitor. That's who shaped me. My big mama was a cosmetologist doing hair, and he gave you permission to vote in her Buick. So that's who shaped me, right? My parents always put into me service. And so for the last decade, I've been the pastor of McCarthy Moore Christian Church in West Adams. It's been around for 92 years. got well known because it did civil rights work, right? You know, Freedom Summer in 68, integrating housing covenants and taking out housing covenant busing in Los Angeles. Wilshire Boulevard was the railroad tracks in Los Angeles. Been the pastor here. And when I became the pastor here, the question was, why is the church not active in the movement? Why are we not standing up for Black lives, all Black lives? Why are we not showing up in many ways? And there was a long history of it. My mentor, Reverend James Lawson, tells me the stories of when people were active in the streets. And so we started working, right? And so for over a decade, between the church, Black Lives Matter work, through LA Voice, we've been changing the built environment. Right. I always tell people being a pastor means nothing if you can't deal with people, you know, bills and rent and paying child care. Right. That's what this is about. And so in 2020, everyone was in the streets, you know, and I was in the streets, too. We helped lead in protests with BLM. And then I also got the call to serve as a commissioner for CD10. And during that time period, MRT caught a case. And the real losers in all of that, I believe, were the citizens, because our voice was muffled. It was taken away. It was silenced. They was not doing democracy in L.A. And we called a meeting with the city council president at the time. He said, yo, let's get the people together and let's hear what they want or the qualities that they want in a leader. And the response was, nah, we good. We good. We need to do that. We got to figure it out. We said, how you got to figure it out? None of the community people have offered their voice. Cornel West says, you can't serve people unless you know the people. You can't know the people unless you love the people. And I'm like, well, how are we serving people if y'all don't even come talk to people?
What?
Right, that's just step one.
Y'all better catch a word right now. That's all I got to say.
So I said, nah, this ain't right. Like, we did not go protest in these streets, change laws for over a decade. I personally didn't go to jail four times in this movement. Been locked up from labor movements, from, you know, trying to stop the stops, all of that. For folks to be like, nah, your voice don't really matter. And so I started listening deeply to community and seeing what's going on. I did 100 one-to-ones. And community members said, why don't you run, pastor? Like, you're the organizer. You know how to do this. And I had to think long and hard and pray about it a little bit. And I said, okay. I talked to mentors. I talked to my wife. Talked to friends as well. I said, listen, this is the thing about serving. And if the people need service, if we're not getting the skills that we need, then this is just another way of service for me. This is another way of serving the community, emptying out who I am, the skills I have, to actually make sure that people's voices are included in CD10 in Los Angeles.
Not only skills, but it's in your bloodline. You come from a family of organizers, a family that's been in the church, a family that cares about the community. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier, my big mama, she in the 50s. Okay. This is before we get civil rights bill 64, would register people to vote and drive them around and turn her house into a polling place. This is in the deep South where you can get killed for that. At the same time, on the other side of town, my father's side of the family, my grandfather was leading the NAACP and getting people registered to vote and helping feed the neighborhood and community. And so I couldn't escape it, right? This is what you do, take care of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, the first story I heard about service was my father telling me when he was a kid that they almost lost their house because his dad would make sure everyone in the neighborhood had food from their farm.
Oh, wow.
And everyone would be able to get paid. Wow. And that he would not back down at from the time of racist white folks at the time who didn't want Black people to get their stuff. And they were threatening him. And his dad was like, we'll lose it all to make sure people are good, right? Mm-hmm. The neighborhood is good, right? And that's what it means. That's how I grew up knowing what service means to me. That leadership to me always equaled impact. If you're not changing material conditions on the ground, then what are we doing? And so you do the work. And whether you get, you know, a pat on the back or not, it's not about that. It's about, are you changing their lives? Does someone have food on their table? Are bills being paid? Are lights staying on? Are there jobs in the community? That's the work, right? And you have to do it every single day. And you have to, you know, stay grounded and don't be compromised. The best lesson I learned was don't be boss or bought and always serve the people.
Don't be boss or bought. And always serve the people. And from what you said, it makes sense. You said, hey, your parishioners came up and said, Pastor Eddie, you're already doing the work. Why don't you be the voice? I thought it was interesting. You said you've been serving as the pastor for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't even see a wrinkle. I don't see a gray hair. Age ain't nothing but a number. But Pastor Eddie, how old are you?
Well, my birthday was just this week, so I'm 34.
Happy belated 34. Birthday!
Thank
wow.
you.
So you have been leader of the church for the past 10 years, starting when you were tender age of 24.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel you coming in this perspective in this legendary district, just Los Angeles, what do you feel as far as your viewpoint, as far as the age in which you can bring to the table?
Yeah. I mean, I think my age just means that I grew up a millennial, right? And so I grew up in that's why my campaign literature says everything we want is possible.
Yes.
And then it says fight poverty, not the poor, because I grew up in a world where, yeah, there's barriers and people, my age has always been a barrier to some people. But I've always been inspired because I knew that Dr. King was my age when he was doing this work. That John Lewis was my age doing this work.
Come on.
Reverend James Austin was my age, right? Like Ella Baker was the a little bit older than me doing this work, right? That the way that we democratize America has always been on the back of young people.
Right, because the young people are the future. They can see what's possible. They are willing to turn what others have said impossible to I'm possible.
Yeah, I'm possible. We are here, and I think it also allows me to build coalition, right? I value your dream. Mm. I value your hopes. I value your pain. And I believe that out of all of that, we make progress, right? I mean, we change systems. We're not changing systems for now. I'm not working for me. I'm working for my niece and nephew who don't even live here, but are, you know, 5 or 6 years old, right? And what the world they will have. Mm-hmm. What is the future? What is the future? We used to ask the question in BLM, what is a Black future, right? And then just question, what is the future for Los Angeles? Like, what is the world you will hope to live in? And then what are we doing to make that happen?
I ask you that?
Yeah. For me, the world that I see is a world where there is healthy food in our communities and we don't have food deserts. Where we can get on the bus and it's free and there's Wi-Fi up on that bus because sometimes we don't have internet at our homes. The world I see is the city where young people go to school and they also know, hey, look, our city takes care of us. I'm getting a job in the summer, get some training, and I'm going to be able to have a career, maybe in the city, but maybe in the arts, but I'm going to learn the skills because people are investing in me. It's a community where people who've been here 60, 70 years get to talk to people who just moved to the city. Like, that's what I got. When I got here, you know, my members said, I moved here in 1953, 1955. They went to Tuskegee. They went to these places, HBCUs. And it was like, yeah, young brothers, like, sit down. And they sat down and broke bread and said, listen, this is the story of LA through my eyes. When, what are you going to do for the future? Right. That's the kind of village we need to repair in our community and what's possible. Right. And that's why I think city council is so important, because more than any other office, a city council office deals with the day to day. Is it your day-to-day? It deals with, is your trash getting picked up? Is your business, are there businesses on your blog? It deals with, can you go to a library and how do you make sure that library stays open? It deals with what kind of conversations are we having in the public square? It's convening the spaces and then doing the work to make it possible. That's what a city council person is for. They're convening and doing the work. They're writing the policy that actually benefits you. And it affects you more than you know. And so when I knock on people's doors, people are like, I'm not participating. And I'm like, sister, brother, if your trash got picked up, you're participating. If you paid your light bill today, you're participating. Mm. The question is, how are you informing those who are participating on your behalf?
Come on.
That's the question, right? We gotta do that hard work. And that's why I decided, that's why city council is important to me. Because we do the work, right? What good is a protest if you still got to convince the person around who you representing you that your protest was violent? Like, what good is it, right? Like, if we go into the street and say, we want a people's budget, we want participatory budgeting, but then you got to convince the people that it's good, but the neighborhood already said, okay, we down with it? Like, that's a problem for me. And so that's why city council is important, and that's why we got to break up status quo, I believe.
And I love that, honestly. I think that's something that's a highlight of you sharing, that you can relate to those of the younger generation, because oftentimes I feel as those who represent the voice or coming to speak, there's such a gap. And sometimes this mm-hmm. disparity causes some sort of miscommunication. And we know that any successful relationship requires communication. Just like you're saying, the people spoke. In order to know what the people needed, you had to get out there in the community and speak and communicate with the people. So I want to applaud you and to affirm you on your vision, your execution, and just being bold and going out with it. Now, I had a chance to check out your website, Anderson for LA, and anybody mm-hmm. that's following the campaign are discussing about the pillars in which you stand upon. So things I saw on your website was about unemployment and drivers for poverty, the California dream versus the California nightmare. I'd love to hear what you have mm-hmm. to say about that. And then also, being that CD10 has such a dysfunctional history, why did you decide to meddle in there and quote unquote clean it up?
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about some of that.
A lot. I know. Unpack.
Yeah. Let's start with California Dream versus California Nightmare, and then go into why I decided to get in there. For most people, whether you grew up in LA or you moved here, there is this kinship of LA being a place where dreams are made, right? More than any other place in America, LA is where dreams are made. It's where culture is not only created, but is curated in many aspects. What I find, and when I was in the Poor People's Campaign across California and nationally with William Barber, doing listening sessions up and down the state. I did up and down the state. We started at the bottom past San Diego and went up past, out toward like Humboldt. And we stopped. We would stop in small towns, big cities, and just listen to people and convene these gatherings. A lot of people are flying around Los Angeles with broken wings.
Mm.
Right.
Los Angeles is Lost Angels, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of Los Angeles who are being crushed by unaffordability, being crushed by homelessness, being crushed by dreams just not panning out the way they thought it was going to pan out. The mental health. Listen, if you are, I came here and I tell people all the time, and I'm proud of it. Some people were like, how you going to solve the homelessness if you were homeless? And I said, yeah, let me tell you that story. Like, I was homeless for 3 months, couch surfing. And I didn't want to identify as homeless because, whatever. But I was homeless for 3 months, couch surfing. And in the same period, I leaving the Poor People's Campaign. At this point in my life, I had 3 degrees to my name. Went to the best schools, could not afford a one-bedroom apartment in Los Angeles, not even the one across the street, and I knew the landlord. and it was friends who let me sleep on their couch and was like, you figure it out. My mortgage brother was like, I'm gonna leave my spot. We'll go in it together, half the rent. Let's figure it out. That's a nightmare for money people, and you lose your mind. I remember driving around anxious all the time. Anxious, like, do I get McDonald's today? Or do I put gas in this car? Do I save the money because I need to buy, put it first and last month rent, right? Imagine now that times 10 because you're sleeping on the street, right? And that's why when I tell people, we just all want to be whole. We all just want to be well. So that's why we got to lead with care, right? We got to create systems that actually are coordinated between the county and the city and actually work together. Like, I love what's going on in other parts of the city where the supervisors, the county supervisors are partnering with the council people to build interim housing with mental health wrapped inside of it. It hasn't hit CD 10 yet. That's a problem for me, right? And so while in that space, my nightmare turned it into a dream and started serving on the commission for Black people experiencing homelessness in Los Angeles County through LASA. And worked with people who were luminaries, you know, CEOs and all these other folks. And they invited me as a lonely pastor who knew something about organizing to the table. But we created Intercepts. And now what you see with Inside Safe, and now who you see leading LASA, people who came from that committee, right? We started changing the narrative, and that's the power. And so why did I jump in to CD10 and muddle the waters? Because I know what's possible. I know we have to organize. I know when we organize together, we can actually change systems. I know how to pass the policy and also keep people's pain at the forefront. That's why I jumped in the race, because I'm tired of folks saying we don't have the money when we know where the money is. I'm tired of folks saying you got to wait. When we say, wait, we've already did the study. You just got to implement. Right. You got to have enough courage to implement and say, I stand with the people. Right. And yeah, you won't always agree with the people. And then there's lots of opinions. And that's what we put in coalition. Right. CD10. Let's be real. It's the most diverse district in the entire city. All right. But building coalition means understanding what people come to the table with and what, and then how do we put together a mosaic? How do we make sure that we are painting something that all of us can be proud of and that everybody can get their needs met? There's enough resources, public-private partnerships that we can create to ensure everybody's good in this neighborhood.
And I love that you said build this mosaic, because it's all it is a piece of everybody. And I think when we talk about those who are standing forth to represent us, let there be a piece of you that you see in them. And of course, like you said, it's with that connection and with these coalitions, with these shared initiatives, with these thought processes, let's come together and make this beautiful picture that we call CD10.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, that's not, let's, you know, when folks and African people like, how is this possible? And I said, when the Korean Federation needed to reach out and do work in South LA, I said, let's work together. When they needed a senior center, and, you know, we've been talking about it, I was like, sure, use the fellowship hall at the church. Let's figure out how to make it work. I know 4 Korean words, but we can still work together to figure out how to make that work. When our neighbors were like, we need food, and they all Latina. And Latino, Latinx, and whatever, how they identify. And we were like, cool, we'll feed you. And I found some folks who speak Spanish, and let's make sure you're good, right? When Lumber Park said, we don't have a grocery store, I said, all right, let's figure it out. And so now we're building a grocery store, right? Right.
Like, and all it took for you to step forth and say something.
Yeah, to listen and then figure out how to make it happen. And this is my frustration, and this is why I believe it's possible, because we're doing it already. And folks say, well, if you become the council person, doesn't that mean we lose you from community? And I said, no, that's the politics of division. But I believe in the politics of multiplication.
Come on.
You don't lose me. We just get to do it on a larger scale and make sure everybody's needs are met. We get to make 100 different versions of what we're trying to do in a small little part of West Adams all across the district.
Think of it like some type of factory that's just pumping out the vision, pumping out the goodness, pumping out the future, pumping out the change that we all wish to see. And that's what Pastor Eddie says he's bringing to CD10. So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, you talked about the unhoused community. Mm-hmm. What, while we addressed it, what needs to be done to eradicate it?
Yeah. So the hard truth is that the system is not coordinated. And the system is not coordinated, which means that I take the person who sleeps on the front of the church. We call at one agency, they say, oh, we can't help you. You got to call this other agency. They do the test, income, the intake. And they say, oh, you're not old enough to be housed. So we haven't been solving homelessness. We've been shuffling people around. And so the question is, how do we resolve it? Well, in order to resolve it, first we got to coordinate the system. So the city council office got to be in contact with the supervisor's office, because this county provides the mental health. The city council can provide some interim housing or the land, right? And so then we got to work together to make sure that the mental health meets where the land is as we build it together. And then we got to do casework. Like, this is not like you just create a system, then it works. You got to go out and do case studies and actually case manage mm-hmm. folks and make sure that people make it through the process, don't fall through the cracks because the paperwork's not signed correctly. They may be housed for 6 months, but then they find themselves back on the street because they couldn't find a job or they couldn't get the assistance that they needed and they didn't know what was available to them. So that's part of it. But then it's also like, we got to be innovative, right? So we got to have interim housing, because everyone's not ready to go from the street to permanent supportive housing. And that's hard truth for some people to hear on this podcast, but that's also just the truth. Like, if take it for yourself, you know, when you were, let's take it out of homelessness, when you were in college, right, and you had a roommate, if you went to college, you had a roommate, and for some reason you got an apartment, you had to figure out how I'm going to shop for myself. Like, my roommate ain't here to help me take out this trash. I gotta do this myself, right? So interim housing allows folks to realize, like, all right, I'm not on the street no more, right? I have a place that is my own. And we can do that with the motels. We can do that with the social housing that we build in our community. And so that's part of it. So building the interim housing so folks can have a wayward path. And then from there, go to permanent supportive housing. But while they're in the interim housing, getting the mental health services, you're getting them occupational services. Occupational services does not mean necessarily you can get a job right away, but it means, what are you good at? And how do we give you the technical assistance to make that happen? And that's only possible with community. That's only possible with local businesses. That's only possible with nonprofits leaning in and the council office saying, yeah, I'm going to give you the resources to make sure that happens. That's how we start solving homelessness. So that by the time you get to permanent supportive housing, you good, Don?
Right, because what good. It sounds like, you're talking about how we got to build this bridge. And on this bridge, we got, you know, each of the ledge or each of the wood planks, but they all carry something. Whether it's support here, there's food here, there's education, there's mental health services. There is support to carry you to the destination. And I think what's so important, too, is that this bridge, not only is it so that you can walk across, but it serves as a connection. It shows mm-hmm. that this is the destination versus, okay, this is the end point, and somehow we have to figure out how to get there. I think that's great.
Yeah, I don't want to hide you as a council person. I wish you well.
So let me ask you right this. Now, since we were talking about the unhoused community, what are your thoughts right now? And it make it just be, you know, a thumbs up or a thumbs down. What are your thoughts on what Mayor Karen Bass has done with the unhoused community thus far?
I think she's doing a good job. I think Inside Safe is Felicia Adams, Alasa. It's a good program. The question is, what comes next? Right? You have someone inside, say it's not intended for you to be there for 6 months to a year, right? So when you come inside, what's the next step? That's where the intersupportive housing step comes real crucial, right? That's how social housing and entitling the land becomes very, very crucial. We don't see it as much in CD10. I don't see a lot of Inside Safe activity in our district, but the tools are being thought about, mm-hmm. but the council office also got to lean in and write some ordinances and say, like, how do we make this better in our district? And housing takes time. So you got to figure out what the interim steps are.
Okay. Another thing that you have listed as well, talking about the importance of reimagining public safety and investing in neighborhoods. I always like to ask people, what does it look like? Not what does it mean? What does it look like?
Very, very, thank you for that question, John. So it has multiple ways in which it looks, but in my vision of CD10 and talking to neighbors, what it looks like is you first start with the budget, and we're just going to have to go there. That we have to right size LAPD. What do you mean, Pastor, by right size LAPD? We gave LAPD $1 billion contract raise. We also gave them a raise in the regular budgeting cycle because we said we wanted them to hire more officers. LAPD has not been hiring more officers in the last 5 years. It's not pragmatic to even say that's real. It's a fake number. It's imaginary at that point, right? So with all the extra money, what that meant was that 22 departments in our city were underfunded. Mm. Now, these are things like street services. You know, the things that like making sure your sidewalks are
everyday activities.
Or the lights are on. And I tell people that the lights being on the street is public safety. That the sidewalk not being a tripping hazard is public safety, because when you're walking on the street and you don't, and the lights are on, you can feel more comfortable in your neighborhood. I tell folks that public safety also looks like the council office working with violence interrupters so that people aren't doing as many drive-bys in your neighborhood. Mm. It looks like that we take that money that they use for what I call the hood birds that fly over every neighborhood, it seems like in CD10.
You're right.
at night. I didn't know we was that much crime happening, but it's not. Crime is down. Violent crime is down in across LA, just in general. But yet we got the hood birds. And so we take that $12,000 that they use to fly over our house every day and start reinvesting that into youth programming in our community, right? That it is possible because we're investing into youth programming in our neighborhood right now, mm-hmm. right? That's what it looks like. It looks like, and here, this is a real story. I had a brother who was a part of our work with the program, and get mental health services, life skills, training for a job. He came to my office one day. He said, "Pastor, I'm late for class because I was going to rob somebody because I didn't have no gas in my car. But then I thought about you and how you wouldn't really want me to show up like that. So I had to take the bus."
Oh, wow.
That's what public safety looks like. Somebody didn't get robbed that day. Someone didn't get traumatized with a gun to their face. And that young brother did not end up in jail because we created a system of care, right? And that's what it looks like. And it looks like when you write out the LAPD budget, it looks like they're not doing all these other things that they said in the LA Times that they're not cut out to do in the first place. So that if there is an actual violent crime, they show up. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. And people be like, you know, Pastor, you know, aren't you supposed to be like an abolitionist and all this stuff? And I'm like, listen, I want us to, we keep us safe. But until we can figure out what happens if someone's shooting at me, I want the police to show up. It's okay. But we got to move into a system of care where there's other ways in which we think about care in our community. And so I want to be very clear with folks that public safety is, yes, making sure your voices are empowered, but it's also making sure that your street services are delivered. It's making sure departments are cared for and are fully funded. It means that there are trauma centers and youth centers in your neighborhood and that the lights still work at night. So that you are good. All of that is public safety. It means ambassador programs in the community as well. And people say, what is that? I'm like, you ever been to the arts district? Hmm. You see the people in the bicycles rolling around? They're neighborhood people. Where's that at for us?
You got a bike lane on Dennis.
Right? You know, I'm just saying, this is how we do public safety.
And I appreciate you hearing the story about the young man in a situation where he is seeking higher levels of education, but had to result on something that it could take him all the way back. And it makes me think about another point that you mentioned on your website and your campaign about the importance of ending poverty, but also and supporting economic justice. Because if this young man wasn't in a situation where he felt like he financially couldn't get there on his own, you know, that would have put him down to another negative path. So how do we infiltrate, or how do we ensure that there's economic justice for us all?
Yeah, the city has tools. The city has tools. Mm. First thing I look at is we got to do an audit on who the city is hiring. I'm just going to keep it real.
What does that look like? What does that mean?
It's already been requested. In 2020, we did an anti-racism motion and got council people to vote on it, where the Civil Human Rights Department did an audit on who the city hiring. The question was just simply, because we have to take tests in order to get a city job, are Black folks, brown folks, AAPI folks, folks with different language barriers, are they getting hired? Does the city hall really look like Los Angeles? I would offer that it doesn't. Hmm. It's getting there. We're on that path, but we're not quite there yet. So with that, we can hire folks into the city. A city job is a way to the middle class. A city job is a job that gives you union benefits, right? So that's part of it. So one, let's hire folks for in the city. That's step one around that. The other is how do we make sure that we are not over taxing or burdening historically rooted businesses, right? Leimert Park, Mid-City, Mid-Wilshire even, K-Town area. Businesses that I talk to tell me that it's hard to keep up with the rent.
I even had a small business. Shout out to Courtney Cowan of Milk Jar Cookies. She was a guest on the podcast. She had a shop on Wilshire, and like a lot of other bakeries, had to close down simply because, and I quote, the rent is too damn high.
Yeah, and when that leaves, not only does that take away community benefits, somewhere for you to shop at, buy local, but it takes away jobs
and culture and community, and because these are your neighbors, absolutely, that own these stores, that are looking after each other, that are voting for the same things that are important, not just here to suck things out and then go live elsewhere. These are people, yeah, in and of the community.
And so that means for me, how do we create more legacy business programs with the Economic and Workforce Development Department? How do we make sure that the LA Development Fund is actually using their tax credits in a skillful way to make sure that small businesses can stay here and can pay a living wage job and help build that community in our neighborhoods? That's what reimagining public safety, that's what reinvesting in fighting poverty looks like. It looks like us actually making sure the Big Leap, which was a program that we did in LA City, which was guaranteed basic income.
Really?
Yeah. So we did guaranteed basic income. A lot of people didn't hear about it. It was in LA Times. And listen, the National Jewish Women Council is also doing it on their own. But the Big Leap can be permanent. Guaranteed basic income should be permanent as a floor, especially for single women and single mothers and folks who are trying to make it, right? It can become permanent, and for 18 months, give people guaranteed basic income, and then they begin to spend their money differently, and their kids have a higher quality of life, or the single woman who did everything right but still spent 55-60% of her income on rent has a little breathing room and taking care of themselves a little bit differently. That too is reimagining public safety. That too is fighting poverty. What does it look like when we protest in the streets and then got the city to write a motion to take police out of traffic stops, but it hasn't happened? It's been 4 years. And why is that important? Because if we take police out of traffic stops, lowers the encounter of people getting pulled over driving while Black, driving while brown, which can turn fatal.
And then also, let's take an account of the monies that's spent for the patrol to stop at faulty stops, let alone, I'm starting. Yeah, then we got the whole situation, like, God forbid, if someone loses their life, the family comes up. You sue the police department. Not only is the officer out on pay leave, but the monies that you are suing are the monies that we've paid, and yet we still don't have change where we reside.
Absolutely. And so we could do slow infrastructure, which we did in coalition to put forward slow infrastructure in our streets. We can do voucher programs. A lot of other cities, when doing the George Floyd protests, started a lights on program, where it basically was a micro grant, where that if you had a traffic violation, broken taillight, the city ain't giving you no ticket. They gave you a voucher. You went to a local mechanic and it got it fixed, right? So that we don't have to do this again, right? We don't have to have this interaction. These are right here for a circle program needs to be bolstered in our city. It needs to get resourced correctly. Street medicine can be resourced in our city. All of these are things that we are doing, but not doing it at scale because we are married to the status quo. Mm. And I'm not trying to say it all happened overnight. I'm a realist, I'm pragmatic. It takes time to get the things done, but we can keep the conversation going. We can resource those folks that are doing that work. We can keep showing the model over and over, improving the model until that becomes how we understand public safety in our community, how we fight poverty in our community, and make sure that we're good. Fighting poverty for me also means park space. Like, I'm sorry, we're the fourth worst district when it comes to green space. You need park space to play, but you also need it for your mental health. You need it for enjoyment as well. You want your constituents, you want your residents, your neighbor to be well. That's what I'm talking about. That's why it's possible in CD10.
And I love that, you know, just as one, you keep highlighting community. We keep highlighting how important it is to communicate, and also highlighting the fact that when we talk about those who are running for LA City Council, we're talking about individuals that are affecting our everyday life. You know, there's this quote, inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. Oftentimes we pop up and we look at the November presidential elections and everything that's affecting us right in our backyard. Well, why isn't the president doing this? Because when it was time for the previous elections, for the individuals that are actually invoking that change, the question is, where were you? Mm-hmm. Better yet, where are you right now? Are you actually seeing what's going on? So another thing, you know, I think it's so important we talk about politics. We always talk about this whole idea of church and state. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's two separate beliefs, but how do they blend? And as you being a pastor and I myself being a member of the LGBTQIA+ community, mm-hmm. what does this look like? What type of programs, what do you see that how you can support the community in ways that have not been done before?
Yeah. So a couple of things I want to just, you know, you asked the questions. So I want to just talk about a couple of things here. One, I understand I would never legislate my beliefs. I'm not an evangelical Christian. I'm a progressive Christian. Also understand that I believe everyone is made in the image of God. For me, the question is, how are you whole? How are you well? And so what that also means for me is, we have to make sure we have better LGBTQ centers in South LA. There's only like one off King. Sad. What are we doing? We got to take care of our trans sisters and brothers as well in our community, because they often are the ones who find themselves first on the streets or being trafficked. We got to make sure that we are looking at the district, that we are also looking at how are we lessening the burden of entry and making sure that our system is not prejudiced in that way. I was talking to people from Stonewall, and they were like, Pastor, every ethnic group has like their own little caucus in the city. And the workers do, but the LGBTQ folks don't. And I said, that sounds like a lawsuit to me. Let me sign. Where do I sign to help move this, right? Because nobody should be treated differently because of who you love. Love is love, beloved.
Who you, and I'm so glad that you said who you love. Not just who you want to be with, who you want to sleep with, but essentially who you love. Not hate.
Who you love.
Love.
Yeah. Who you love. Who you love, right? And so I've never seen that as a way to move forward. And I think that folks who actually are out here bashing folks for who they love, I have to ask you, what God are you serving?
And you know what I always ask? I always say, who do you think that you are? If you are not supposed to judge, and here you are judging somebody's lifestyle, how they're living, the question is, if this almighty God that you serve, who do you think that you are? Are you stepping in as God now? Because your judgment is just unbelievable.
I mean, I'll say even one, but also, like, are we all made in the image of the Creator?
God said far more than what you could ever imagine.
So if we are all made in the Creator, then isn't it that the plans that I have for your life are for you to have a future and to prosper?
Come on.
Why would I do anything to harm your life? Why would I do anything to prevent you from living your best life? Right? And that's what it is about city council, it's about equity. How are we moving with equity? I don't have to agree with anything. And please understand that I think people are crazy. We're not a religious podcast. This is not here for a theological talk. We will not go into that on today. I don't know who all is on your audience. But I just don't understand why are we not leading with equity? Why are we not treating people as you want to be treated? Why are we not really loving our neighbors? I'll tell you this one story around LGBTQ community is the story of being at my uncle's funeral, never left me. And we going here. So I don't know who's on this podcast.
We talking. It's a real conversation with real people right now. Let's go.
I remember being, I thought my uncle was so fly, right? My uncle was so fly. He was like always dressed real nice, got a fast car, rode a motorcycle, so fly. I remember getting the call. My mom was like, uncle's sick. Okay, I was a little kid. My mom got the phone call. Uncle's sick. He got pneumonia. A week later, he died. Mama said, "Oh, uncle's sick. He had pneumonia. His white blood cells weren't working right. You know where this is probably going, Tom." I said, "Okay." A week, we get to the funeral, and my uncle's partner comes and he's wailing over the casket. And people, my family, people in the audience getting all uncomfortable. And I looked at that and I said, clearly you loved uncle, cared for uncle, made sure uncle was good. What is this thing that we got inside, especially in some black culture, where we like, what's going on here? And I made in that moment a commitment. I said, uncle, I ain't never gonna let you die, mates. We still can't say that in public to some people. Right? You died from AIDS. But I said, until my dying day, I'm sure you good. That your partner good. And everybody else is good. Because this is what God will want in my life. This is what love looks like. This is what care looks like. If we can't affirm one another and just find things that tear people down, listen, mama said, if you got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Keep it moving. Say you don't understand. Keep it going. But don't tear people down. Build an equitable future. Build a bridge. Be a change. Show some love. Legislate justly. Don't legislate to harm people. Legislate to make people the best that they can be. I got a degree in political science. That's what I thought government's supposed to be about in the first place. It's about making sure we're good. Right? And so that's when Bambi from Trans Latina Coalition says, Pastor Eddie, show up. I pull up. That's why I'm at home with the Stonewall. I say, Eddie, pull up. I pull up. That's when Travail writing their book and says, Eddie, can you help? Pull up, whatever. Support. I'm there. Say less, right? Because what are we doing? When I went to Morehouse College, they tried to make a dress code because some of our brothers dressed androgynous or they would Vogue and you know, go to balls and stuff like that at night, and people had issue. I said, what? We're not doing that. We shut down the school in the chapel. We brought everybody to the chapel and said, listen, that's not what we're doing. That's not becoming. I'm a Morehouse man. Right? Becoming a Morehouse man is justice, is equity, is making sure people are good and whole. And just keep it real. Every queer person that I know, they work hard.
Yeah.
They do everything everybody else does. And they do it beautifully with style and with flavor and with swag.
You gotta talk that talk. Well, come on.
So what we doing? What we doing?
That's the question. So the question becomes, what are you doing? Are you going to show up so that your voice can be heard? We have Pastor Eddie Anderson, who's running for LA City Council of CD10, who's asking you to show up. Now, you've heard his platform. You understand what's important, and you understand why the bridge is so important, how this is a new movement. We're talking about social change from a young brother that actually is in the future, living in the future, can see the future, has a vision for the future. Now, the question is, do you? So, Pastor Eddie, where can people follow you on social media? How can they donate to your campaign? What's the website? Give us the information.
Yeah. Follow the campaign. It's Anderson4LA on IG. The website, we actually switched it up. Anderson2024.com is easier for people to remember. It's Anderson2024.com. My personal IG is Eddie L. Anderson. You want to see what I do in my everyday life? You can check that out as well. And you can donate there as well. If you're in CD10, listen, this is grassroots. And other people out here saying they're running grassroots campaigns, but no, this is, I didn't use all my savings. This is grassroots, okay? So if you live in CD10, you can put five on it. Just five on it. It will help us get, we need 20 more people so that we can unlock matching funds and pay down some of these bills, right? This is neighbor to neighbor out here. And so if you can make that donation, you can do that as well at Anderson2024.com. Take the time, but most importantly, be an educated voter and vote. Even be civically engaged. This is your future. This is your life. Don't let someone else determine it. Live it. Live it fully. Live it on purpose. And hopefully you can live with me in coalition.
There you have it. Are you ready for change? Are you ready for this new movement for social change? From a brother that is of the community for the community and bred for the community. Well, make sure you get out there and vote. Okay? Okay, well, it's time to get out of here. I want to encourage you, if you are tuned into the podcast and you'd love to be a guest, be sure to check us out and send an email to vitamind@dawn, D-A-I Speaks. You can catch us on all social media at Vitamin D Dawn Day. Also, tell somebody to tell somebody else to get some vitamin D. We can't do this without you. All right? So I'm headed out here. If you want to follow me on my personal Instagram page and on all social media, you can follow me at Dawn, D-A-I Speaks. You know, I always say, I'm in the business of making dreams come true. And I damn sure ain't gonna forget about mine. So until next time, fam, always remember, you are your greatest asset.
Get your vitamin D right here with me and get excited about your life.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.